Thank you for helping us, Larry. Weeds, seeds. Which am I? Which are you? Weeds, that's that stuff that you try to kill by spraying all over your yard. That's the stuff that you try to pick out of your flower beds. Weeds. It's the stuff you don't want. Seeds. That's the stuff you spread all over your yard. It's the stuff you plant in your garden. It's the stuff you do want. Weeds. Seeds. Which am I? No. You're going to have to make it personal. Which are you? Would you be someone in the kingdom that Jesus just would prefer not being part of the kingdom because of the way you choose to live? The way you choose to think. The way your heart manifests itself in your attitude. Or would you be someone that Jesus is proud to say, they belong to my kingdom because of the way you live, because of the way you think, because of the heart that is manifested by your attitude? Weeds. Or seeds, which am I, which are you? I bet we can find out. In fact, the Lord actually tells us into which of those two categories you and I belong. We find ourselves, as we continue to follow Chuck's teaching us in Matthew to chapter 13 and now verse 24, all the way through verse 43, with what is often called the parable of the tares, or more modern translations, the parable of the story of weeds. So there, you're going to have to click that for me. It's not working up here. I want you to begin reading with me Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. He put another parable before them. Now let's pause for a moment. It's interesting to see how Jesus, or how this is worded, because it helps us see the contextual flow of things. He put another parable. The word that is translated another is allos, A-L-L-O-S, and it means another of the same kind. Not heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S, heteros, another of a different kind. And so the Holy Spirit says, Jesus put another story, just like the previous story, before them. The previous story was that one that Chuck helped us with last Sunday morning, the parable of the sower. And you'll remember there were four different kinds of soil, representing four different ways people listened to the words of Jesus. There are those who refuse to hear what Jesus says whatsoever. That's like the path, a hardened path, just prejudiced and hardened against what Jesus has to say. There are some that listen to Jesus, begin to follow Jesus, and then things get tough because they're following Jesus, and they just give it up. That's like rocky soil. There are also some that listen to Jesus, they begin to follow Jesus, but then what they want in life begins to take precedent. Things happen in their life and they're disappointed. God didn't step through and help me here. Cares. You mean I'm going to have to sacrifice, I'm going to have to give instead of holding up and acquiring riches? You mean if I follow Jesus and keep doing what He says, I can't do what makes me feel good? cares, riches, pleasures of life. And those are individuals like the thorny soil. But then there are some that listen to Jesus, follow Jesus, and they continue to follow Jesus, and they bear much fruit to the glory of God. Good soil. The Holy Spirit says, Jesus told them another story just like that one. So what we're about to read attaches itself in contextual flow to what we just read. The parable of the weeds is a continuation of the story about the sower sowing seed in different soils. So verse 24 says, he put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven. What do we mean when we read the kingdom of heaven? Actually, the kingdom concept is set before us in three different ways in the New Testament. Sometimes the word kingdom is used in reference to those who are submissive to God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Matthew 6, verse 10. Sometimes the word kingdom is used as a synonym for the church. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, kingdom, church, church, kingdom. Sometimes the word kingdom is used for those who are saved and on their way to heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, he will see me safely into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Put all together, we see the kingdom concept is those who submit to the will of God to the point they are added by God to his people, the church, with the hope and the joy of knowing they are saved and going to heaven. That's the kingdom. And so here is another story like the story about the parable of the sower, and it's all about the church on its way to heaven. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to. And then he starts this story. I'm going to try this one more time. Did I do that? Okay. Yes. Here's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to think about the parable of the weeds in three different ways. First, let's just look at the story, the illustration itself. That's what a parable is. Then let's note the Lord's own explanation of the story. And then we will make personal application to our lives and let the story help us be better people. So first of all, let's just begin by reading the story. The kingdom of heaven, it may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds. Weeds among the wheat, and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barns. Now we're about to read several different parables as we continue to read Matthew chapter 13. But of all these parables that are mentioned in Matthew 13, one of them stands out as rather problematic to the apostles. And so Jesus took the time later on in that same day to sit down with the apostles and talk to them about this particular story. If you drop down to verse 36, it says, then he left the crowds. This would be the crowds that had gathered together by the seashore that Jesus was preaching to from a boat. He left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." There's the parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds. There's the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of leaven. But of all these four parables, the disciples said, they're scratching the top of their head, "We want to know more about the weeds. Tell us about the weeds. You and I need to know more about the weeds and the seeds and ask ourselves, which am I?" So let's let the Lord help us better understand the illustration by His own explanation. Here's how we'll look at the explanation of Jesus. First of all, we'll think about the parts. And Jesus just breaks it down one at a time. The sower is this person, and the good seed is this. And he just goes all the way through and explains what he wanted to emphasize with his illustration. We'll look at those parts. Then we'll step back, put our finger on the overall story, and see the main point of the story. Here's the point, brethren. Every time you study a parable, there's always just one main point that Jesus is getting to. Only one. There are various other sub-lessons that you can glean, but only one lesson from each parable. This lesson, this parable, has only one main point. We're going to try to find that point and then drive it to our lives before our application. Are we ready to see what the Lord had to say about the parable of the weeds? Here is His own explanation as we began focusing on the parts. Verse 37, He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." Now, I'm going to read the word Son of Man about 86 times in the New Testament. 82 times Jesus uses it as the moniker to describe Himself, or there's about three others that others are referring to Jesus in that light. Son of Man. But more is involved here. Far more is involved here than Jesus, the Son of Man, humanity, in contrast to Jesus, the Son of God, deity. When He says Son of Man, He's not talking about His humanity. No, no. This is a moniker that goes all the way back to the Old Testament book of Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 7, I read about one, the Ancient of Days God, and how one, the Ancient of Days gods, gives to the Son of Man. What does He give? Dominion and glory and a kingdom. So all people and nations and languages should serve Him, the Son of Man. And His dominion is an everlasting dominion. That's what we read in Daniel chapter 7. You have God giving to the Son of Man dominion, glory, and a kingdom with the prospect of everybody serving the Son of Man. And Jesus used those words to describe Himself more than any other in His life. So He's not humbly saying, Son of Man, humanity. He's saying, I'm the Son of Man. I am the King of Kings. I have been given a kingdom by God Himself. All are going to be subject to Me. And He said that implicitly. This is just a remarkable way of Jesus describing Himself in all the glory that God gave Him. So His explanation begins by saying, the one who sows good seed, that's Me. The field. The field is the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16, verse 15. Go make disciples of all the nations. Matthew 28, verse 19. So here is this mass of humanity. And in this mass of humanity, here is a kingdom. And in this kingdom, the church, there's some good folks. the good seed is the son or the sons of the kingdom. In the Bible, the words sons of is an idiom for those characterized by. You remember going all the way back to Genesis chapter 6? It says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, how they were attractive, and they began to cohabit and commingle, and the results? Absolute chaos, corruption, wickedness, violence, and the thoughts of their hearts were only evil continually. The sons of God, those characterized by the ways of God, saw the daughters of men, women characterized by the ways of mankind, the world. And when those living the way God wanted them to saw women living the way the world wants to, they began to come together. They were no longer like what God wanted them to be. Sons of, characterized by. So I'm reading here in the parable of Jesus, he said, the good seed, the good, kalos is the word, colossal, the colossal kind of seed, the good seed, they are those characterized by the ways of the kingdom. They're the ones that are living the way I want them to live. Later on in this same explanation, they're actually described as the righteous, those living rightly, who will shine like the sun. I keep reading, the weeds. Ah, just read about the seeds. Now the weeds. The weeds are the sons of those characterized by the evil one. I think we know who that is. Those characterized by the ways of the devil. Hold up, Brother Dan. We're talking about the kingdom, right? Yes. What the kingdom looks like? Yes. We're talking about the church, right? Yes. You mean that there are righteous people in the church? Absolutely. You mean that there are people living the way the devil wants them to live in the church? Yes. You mean there are hypocrites in the church? Duh. How many times have we, investing with our friends, want to lead them to Jesus, want to invite them to church, and they say, I want nothing to do with Christianity. I want nothing to do with your church. They're hypocrites in that church. Jesus knew that. He knew there would be before the church even came to be. And yet he brought it into existence, died for it anyway. So the weeds would be those in the church who are not living the way citizens of the kingdom should live. They're living the way the devil wants them to. The enemy. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. Enemy, devil. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, adversary. Antidokos, dokos, right, anti, against. The one that is against what is right, the devil. So I'm reading about individuals who aren't living the way citizens of the kingdom should live, weeds, and the ones that are responsible for these hypocrites in the church is the enemy, the one that's against what is right, the devil. There are people in the church that are doing exactly what Jesus wants them to do. And there are people in the church that are doing exactly what the devil wants them to do, whether we know it or not. They're thinking like the devil. They feel like the devil. They treat other people like the devil behind our backs. Weeds, seeds, which? So the enemy is the devil himself, the harvest. The harvest is the end of the age, the end of time, the end of the world. Take off the last few words, the end. It's when everything comes to an end. what's going to happen when everything that we know comes to an end? Of course, it's the day of reckoning. But it says it's the end of the age, and then the Son of Man, that's Jesus, will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all that causes sin and all lawbreakers. The reapers are the angels. When the Son of Man, Jesus, comes, He's going to send forth His reapers, the angels, to make a distinction between the hypocrites living for the devil and the righteous living as citizens of the kingdom for the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, Matthew 25, 31 and 32, when the trumpet sounds and our attention is drawn upward and we see Jesus Himself coming from heaven, every angel in heaven is coming with Him, and at that moment, heaven will be totally vacant with the exception of two. The Father and the Spirit. Everybody else is gone and come to the day of judgment. And the angels aren't coming with Jesus just to be observers. They're not going to sit up in the stands and holler for the righteous and against the wicked. They are coming to participate. Jesus will send apostello, apostle. An apostle means sent one. In His day, Jesus sent men to preach. On the day of judgment, Jesus will send angels to punish. He will send angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom, and here are the weeds identified, all causes of sin. Now I want you to stop right now and listen. Look right here. Are you, am I a weed? At this moment, if my ways, my attitude, the way I have treated others is causing someone to sin, that's a weed. That calls for some dire self-reflection. All causes of sin and all law breakers. The New Testament is called the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit, the perfect law of liberty. It has laws that are to be obeyed, although it comes from a heart of God's grace. He still expects us to do and be what He commands. And if God says, do this, and I say, don't believe a will, if God says, don't you do that, and we say, just watch me, that's a lawbreaker. That's a weed. And so I need to ask, am I doing something right now God does not want me to do? And you know. Yes, you do. You know. Others may not, but you know. Are you not doing what God says He wants you or commands you to do? And you know. Others may not, but you know. That's a weed. I'm causing other people to sin, or I'm not doing what God commands, or I am doing what God commands me not to do. That's a lawbreaker. That's a weed. The burning of the weeds. Well, these that cause sin and lawbreakers, the angels will throw, balo is the word. It means throw a baseball. Scott? It means throw a football. Okay, the devil made me do it. Like the quarterback of Tennessee Volunteers yesterday. Throw a football. Throw a baseball. The angels will throw. Those who cause sin, they will throw those who are lawbreakers into the fiery furnace. Elsewhere in Matthew, Jesus calls it the unquenchable fire. Elsewhere, he calls it eternal fire. Elsewhere, he calls it hell, Gehenna, literally, of fire. Gehenna, that's the Valley of Hinnom. That was the Jerusalem city dump where they kept fires burning constantly day and night to keep down the stench and the decay and the prospect of disease. It was a place known where the maggots never died, and they would feed on the marrow of individuals that were just tossed over there without being buried. And the Jews felt like Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom, is where ghosts and hobgoblins lives. Jesus could not have selected a place more that would render fear into the heart of a Jew than to call the destiny of the wicked Gehenna, hell fire. The lawbreakers and those who are causing sin, that's the destiny. Then the righteous, the good seed, will shine like the sun. Shine, eklampo, lamp. Shine, eklampo, out. Shine out. Turn the light on. Look at here. They will shine like the sun in the kingdom, not of heaven, not of God, but the kingdom of the Father. The idea is they will shine like the sun, basking in the glory and essence of God the Father Himself. They will be with God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what makes heaven, heaven. You get to be with God. All this nonsense. You know, heaven is not the earth renovated, new heavens, new earth. Heaven is a four square city, street of gold. News flash, it is neither. Those are symbolic descriptions. Heaven is where God is. And all these symbolic descriptions are descriptions that say, you want to go. You want to go. That's where God is. Gehenna, Valley of Hinnom. You don't want to go there. Why? That's where God is not. That's what makes it hell. He's not there. And so we have the parts set before us by Jesus Himself. Let's put our finger on the pulse. Exactly what is this story all about? It is about one thing, your destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, if we are weeds, our destiny is an eternity away from God in a place the Bible calls hell. Gehenna, hell. If we are righteous sons of the kingdom, our eternity will be forever with God in a place that is called gloriously heaven. Weeds, seeds, which? Well, another way to ask that question would be, am I going to hell because of my current lifestyle, thought patterns, attitudes, or am I going to heaven by the grace of God because of my current lifestyle, thought patterns, attitudes? What is my destiny? Brother Dan, I don't like the answer to that question. I want to do better. Get in line. You see, between the parable of weeds and the Lord's explaining to us what the parable of weeds means, there are two other stories. And in those two other stories, we learn how to be seeds instead of weeds. There's the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of leaven. So as we branch into our final thought of the morning, the application of this story, let's let both of those additional stories help us be more seeds than weeds. Let's think about the parable of the mustard seed. We go back to verse 31 and 32. He put another parable before them. Another allos, A-L-L-O-S, another of the same kind. See, Jesus is carrying on a theme. Here's the parable of the sower, and you're one of these four kinds of people, and if you're the first three, you're a weed. If you're the last one, good soil, you're a seed. If you want to be a seed, keep listening. And now he tells another story just like the two he's been talking about. He's stringing all of these parables together. Another, just like that, parable he put before them. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. The first three parables in this series of studies all refer to a sower sowing seed. Interesting. It's the smallest of all seeds. That's actually not true. Did Jesus make a mistake? No. This was an idiom. This was the way they talked. Can you imagine a foreigner learning the English language and we go to the window and they're listening and we say, look at there, it's raining cats and dogs. Really? Let me see. It's raining a gully washer. A what? That's the way we talk, especially in the South. This is the way they talk. It's the smallest of all. That's the way they really emphasized a point. And so here is a seed, and it's one of the smallest seeds. You can barely see it. And if you look at a mustard seed, I mean, it is hard to see, like the pinpoint of a pencil. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree. So it's small and it grows, but it doesn't just grow for the sake of growth. It's not a church that says, here we are, we started with 30 and now we're a mega church. No, no. It grows and becomes a tree so that, keywords, so that birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like a seed that becomes a tree so that it can be a blessing to the birds of the heavens. Be a blessing is the key observation of what we call the parable of the mustard seed. And so as we read together, be a blessing. I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was a stranger, I was naked, I was sick, I was in prison. And you, be a blessing. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in his home church, his home synagogue. He turns to the book of Isaiah. He turns to this passage in Isaiah that talks about him being anointed by the Holy Spirit so that he can in turn go out and preach good tidings to the poor. And he goes on and reach out to the broken and reach out to the captive and reach out to the blind. And Jesus closes the scroll, hands it to the ruler of the synagogue and says, you're looking at the fulfillment of that prophecy. I'm here to reach out to the poor, the broken, the captive, the blind. He lived his life as a blessing. And thus in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, we are told, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor with his hands that which is good, that he may have. Hallelujah! Jesus said, or God says, let me labor so that I can have. I'm going to have and I'm going to build it up and I'm going to die rich. No, that's not what the Holy Spirit said. Keep reading. So that he may have whereof to help those in need. We work hard so that we can get money, so that we can use money to help people be a blessing. It's like the boy and his sister arguing over the last brownie. Mama thought, this is a good teaching moment. So she asked the boy and his sister, what would Jesus do with that last brownie? The boy, quick as a flash, said, he'd turn it into 5,000 more and enjoy himself. We need to take the one brownie that God has given us, and we, non-miraculously, but with a compassionate spirit, turn it into 5,000 more to be a blessing to others. So, I don't want to be a weed. I want to be a seed. How do I get there? Change the way you think. Boy, Scott, you nailed it this morning. Change the way you think. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about us being here for everyone else. Be a blessing. There's another parable here that Jesus used to help us understand how to be a seed instead of a weed, and that's the parable of leaven. When I was a boy, my daddy put water with flour. And what happens when you put water and flour together? You get glue. And he made glue and we made homemade kites. But if you take water and flour and you put a little yeast, you don't get glue anymore. Biscuits. Biscuits and gravy. Now that's a side item. He told them another of the same kind, Allah's parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leaven. And this is a story that says, you be like leaven. You influence others. Folks, either we are going to influence the world or we're going to be influenced by the world. You've heard that before. Which is it with me and with you? This story says you influence the world. You and I are to be the movers and the shakers. Not Washington, D.C. Amen to that. Not the woke nature of our culture. Amen to that. You and I are the power brokers of the way people think, feel, and live. If we are the leaven that leavens the whole lump, if we have an influence. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Matthew 5:16. You're our epistles known and read of all men. 2 Corinthians 2:3. We're luminaries in the world, Philippians 2:14-15. So our lives and ways should be influencing the world about us. We close with the same question. We let the Lord answer the question for us. He told us what a weed is. He told us what a good seed is. And now there's one last question that needs to be answered, and only you and I can answer it. Weeds, seeds, which am I? Which are you? If you don't like the answer to that question, we're here to help you. Come right up here to the front. Go back to one of our elders at the walls in the back, and we'll be here to reach out to you with our hearts and help you to draw closer to our Lord's heart. Let's do that as we stand together and as we sing.